I feel like we're kind of in a Gideon moment in the church. Does that mean something to you, Tracy? We're kind of in this Gideon moment. So I want to look at that story real briefly and just pull out about three quick observations. And just let's pray that the Holy Spirit will illuminate to your heart in this scripture, whatever it is. So, God, we just thank you. Thank you for your abiding word. God, thank you for your written word. Thank you for your rhema word. God, it truly is the reality that we don't live on just bread alone. We don't just live on the natural, but we live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Lord, our food is spiritual. So we're asking you, I'm asking you, God, by your Spirit to speak to every heart in here this morning as we read these scriptures. Amen. Amen. So here it is. Judges 6 verse 1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So they're hiding out, right? So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Maybe some people in here, like, man, I feel that. I feel like everything that I do or that I've done, it's like it gets stolen. Maybe not by a natural thief or a robber, but somehow everything seems to get stolen. It's like I keep sowing, I keep giving, I keep plowing, I keep doing these things, but yet I feel like spiritually I have an adversary. He's coming to just, it's just like water going through a bucket with a hole in the bottom of it. Have you ever felt that way? I feel like there's a lot of people that have felt that way in the past seasons that we've just been in. And this weekend, one of the things that was broken off was this just spirit of poverty. And, you know, poverty is not just about finances. Finances can be a reflection of poverty, but poverty is an orphan spirit, right? That says, I'm not good enough. In the natural, we call it like an insecurity. Right, it says, I'm not good enough, I'm not spiritual enough, I haven't been pleasing enough to God. You know, these things, it just this orphan poverty mentality. And the Lord just was freeing a lot of people from these things. And you can see it here in the Israelites. It's like, oh gosh, woe is me, what good am I, right? But look what happens here. Verse 7, and it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet. The Lord sent a prophet. How many know that's a good day? Yeah. The Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who says to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. And the Lord was just in my reflection this past month in my study of the scripture, and we're in our light online life link, we're reading through the chronological Bible. As I came to this section, Joshua and Judges, here's one thing that I felt like the Lord highlighted to me. He said, Matthew, after Joshua, by and large, the prophetic mantle of the nation was lost until King David, the second king of the kingdom. The prophetic mantle got lost. And I was like, what do you mean, Lord? He's like, well, you remember Moses. He was so intimate, right? he's got the Lord's presence there. And it's like, I don't know if it's audible, but it sure seems that way. And he's like talking with God as a man speaks with his friend. Right? And then, of course, his protege, Joshua, is hanging out there all the time. Even when Moses leaves, Joshua wants to stay in the glory or the presence of God. And you can see him just capturing that thing that his spiritual father carried before him. So in Joshua, when he was called to bring the people into the promised land and begin the conquest against the enemies, he would always see God. And, you know, of course, he was one of the two spies that saw the enemies in the land, said, we can whoop them. We got this, right? And so he was able to carry it on past Moses. And he was always asking God, should we fight them? How do we want to do it? Are we going to do it this way? You know what I'm saying? In other words, so that's what I mean by prophetic mantle. To me, that's defined in very simple terms. It just means you hear God, you obey God. Are we good with that? Or maybe we come from a lot of different church worship backgrounds. But that's how I define the prophetic, is hearing and obeying the voice of God. And so Joshua's doing that. And here in Gideon, who I think it was the third judge, so by judge, basically the judges were like leaders, okay? Leaders of the people. We have a prophet who came. But then after him, the prophetic voice kind of goes quiet. In fact, they get real political. It's all about power and who's going to... Now, God raises them up, but there's just not as much mention. And I'm not trying to imply that there was no words from the Lord, because I'm sure that there was. All I'm trying to say is it's not as visible in the text of Scripture until you get to King David. Well, it was with Saul, but he handled it improperly. But then you get to King David. And he said, Matthew, I want to preserve in every community a people who are committed to hearing my voice and obeying it. A people who are committed to hearing my voice and obeying it. And I'm like, I'm in. Who's in? Would you sign up on the sign up sheet out back later? Like, I'll be committed to that. It's Christianity 101. It's like God speaks, you hear, you talk back, you have intimate communion with God, and you learn how to obey, right? It seems like it's not rocket science, but what happens when groups of people, we'll call it the church universal, begins to sort of lose that or turn to some other focuses, whether it's, you know, good service projects or styles of worship or whatever it is, they all become distractions. And before long, things get kind of political and about position and sort of power. I'm just being honest, you know. I'm probably guilty. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. I'm just saying, my heart says, no, Lord. Let us not be that people. Can it be possible for the koinonia, you know, it's the new Greek term for the fellowship of the Spirit, the unity of the faith. Is it possible to keep that among us? And I feel like the answer is yes. If you will listen to the voice of the Lord, be humble enough to receive it in the way that it comes, and be courageous enough like Joshua to obey it. Amen? And it came to pass, so the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel. Thus says the Lord of God, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also, I said to you, I'm the Lord, your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah. Not Oprah, but Ophrah. Okay? And me and my wife have a little bit of a theological, I wouldn't call it a disagreement, but we may see it differently. I personally believe that this angel of the Lord was a pre-incarnate Jesus. Okay? Other proof texts I would point to was the fourth man in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, I believe before time began, the Word was. He was with God in the beginning. Like, he was a spiritual man. I think there's a song that some fan, I don't know, Stephen Curtis Chapman or somebody like that, recorded of these appearances of Jesus all throughout the Old Testament. All right. If that's a little bit of a theological stretch for you, forgive me, but just give me the license to just go with it this morning. The angel of the Lord, Jesus, Yeshua, he's standing there under the tree at Ophrah. Remember Abraham? I think this is the first time since Abraham that the Lord appeared in this way. And remember, at that time, he came as three men. Could have been the Trinity. I don't know. But anyway, so it's a pretty powerful concept if you really think about it. But anyway, this angel of the Lord, or Yeshua, is standing there, and he which belonged to Joash, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And Jesus appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Now let's get this straight. Gideon is a scaredy cat, right? He's hiding out. Like, he's threshing wheat in a wine press. He's like down there scared to death. And Jesus, just give me the license, he walks in and he looks him in the eye and he says, "Arise, you mighty man of valor." In my video screen on my heart, here's how I see that playing out. Mighty who? He like looks behind him. He's like, "What? Okay, what man are you talking about? Because I'm Gid. Like, I am no man of valor." He's like, "No, you're Gideon. You are a mighty man of valor." Jesus is good at calling out the real you. When Jesus comes into your room, he begins not to tell you who you think you are or what other people have said about you. He tells you who you are. Remember Zacchaeus in the New Testament? He's a thief, right, in the natural. He's a tax collector. They hated him for that. He was. I mean, he was guilty of sin and all that. And what does Jesus say to him? "Hey, Zacchaeus, you're a sinner. Come down." No. He said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house today and we're having a party." He goes there. And I believe that when Zacchaeus looked into the eyes of love, he saw not who, what his behavior had defined him as, but what he really was. And what was his heart response? Repentance. He said, "You know what? Whatever I've stolen, I'm going to give back whatever the manifold, more than that, double it," or whatever it was. The woman caught in adultery, the same thing. She is guilty. The law says she should be stoned. The men gathered around with rocks were not wrong, according to the law. But with the heart of the Father, they were. Because he looked at her and he said, "Where are your accusers? They've left, Lord. Go and sin no more." What happened? She looked into the eyes of love. And she discovered who she really was. And this is what's happening with Gideon. And this is what happened this weekend on the men's retreat. And this is what's happening for you this morning. Is God is coming into your room. And he's speaking to you, not about who you think you are, not about what your actions have even defined you of, but what God has called you by name. He named you Malachi, right? Trust me, all older parents in this room know this. Malachi is not always going to act like the real Malachi, the God child Malachi, right? But we know who he's called to be. I like to call that the real me. I was talking to my friend Will this weekend, and man, this guy was just on fire. I was like, "Gosh, Will, what happened to you?" You know, and he was like, he had these words, and he came and prayed for me with this other guy, this other young guy, and I was like blown away. And I was like, "I know what happened to you, Will. The real Will came out." He goes, "Yeah, that's exactly what happened." I said, "Well, I bet you I could guess. This is not a new thing for you spiritually, but it got covered up." He's like, "Yep, you're exactly right." He's like, "But the Lord has brought it out in you." And he said, yeah, so we just had a discussion. I said, that's what I like to call the real Matthew. That other Matthew, you know, that carnal, you don't, yeah. I mean, he's an okay guy, but what we really want is the real us. The real us is the spirit us, right? It's the Gideon us. That's the mighty man or the mighty woman of valor. Gideon said to him in verse 13, oh my Lord, if the Lord... This is so crazy. So God's just spoken the destiny word over him. And look at his response. I can relate with this. Well, if the Lord's with us, why? How many people ask the why question? Come on, be honest. Why then has all this happened to us? Why have we lost everything? Why the enemy invaders? Why have we worked so hard? And it's just all gone through the hole in the bottom of the bucket, so to speak. And where, who's asked the where question? Where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Oh, I know this way too well. Man, I've seen stage 4 cancer healed. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen deaf ear. I personally prayed for somebody whose deaf ear opened. I've seen this stuff happen. But how many know that with those testimonies, there's the challenge that comes when I'm on the streets of Chapel Hill and it's like, well, where's the miracles? Like, where's the demonstration of the power of God? Like, when are these things going to happen, right? I don't think there's any of us in this room, no matter what your theological context is for those questions, has ever gone without those questions. And this is Gideon. But now the Lord has forsaken us, even, he says, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And here's the red letter words, right? The words from Yeshua. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go. Everybody say go. Go in this might of yours. That's laughable. What might exactly did Gideon just convey to the Lord? He just conveyed doubt and unbelief. But you see, God is a God who can see the heart. Not just your whining. My whining. Not just our doubts and fears. He can see the golden heart that he's put in you. The renewed heart, right? He can see that heart for God. I remember being years ago in this place and just being messed up, man. I mean, I had gone through it and I was messed up. And honestly, there were probably people that could look at my exterior life and wonder, is that guy even born again? But every time I hit the doors of the church, the first note of the worship, my hands went up. My heart cried out, deliver me, God, basically. From this oppression of my soul. And guess what? Jesus came and he loved me. And he did. He did. I don't care where you're at spiritually. Jesus is coming into your room. He's going to come and he's going to restore the real you. He calls out the gold. He's a gold finder. And he does this for Gideon and then he speaks the destiny. He reminds him of for which he was born. Go in this might of yours and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? It's kind of a rhetorical question, right? Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh, Jesus, how can I save Israel? And this kind of is akin to Moses back when God told him to go deliver the people. And he's like, I don't even talk good, you know. And like he's just like, how can I do this? Gideon, so apparently it's okay to feel a little insecure with your calling. Have you ever had that? I know how. I want you to go plant a church in Chapel Hill. Oh, nah. You got the wrong guy, Lord. Maybe when I was 28, but at age 40 with 6 kids and in a liberal, expensive town like this. I just don't think that's really a good idea, God. I want you. You could go. I'll bless you. You want to go? Yes, sir. That's kind of Gideon. And everybody's felt that way to some extent, right? And the Lord said to him, surely, well, first of all, he said, indeed, my clan is the weakest of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I'll be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. As one man. It doesn't take much, guys, for God to move. It takes one heart that submitted wholeheartedly to that prophetic mantle. Remember, hearing and obeying the voice of God. The now word, the rhema bread from heaven. I can take that, Lord, and I can do with it whatever you tell me to do. Then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here. I pray until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. So Gideon went, prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah flour. The meat he put in a basket. He put the broth in a pot and he brought them out to him underneath the terebinth tree and presented them. Then the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand, touched the meat and the unleavened bread. There's so much in this, I don't have time for it. But fire arose out of the rock and consumed the meat and unleavened bread. You're going to lay whatever you got on the altar of your heart, and fire's coming. Amen. Come on. I mean, like good fire. Like that fire, that the fire of your youth, the zeal of heaven is coming to consume your sacrifice. So this little old laid down life, like, okay, God, I hear you. Yes, sir. Yes. Come on, Lord. Let's go do this together. Now, Gideon perceived, verse 22, that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, oh, alas, O Lord God, I have seen Yeshua, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, Shalom. It's much more than peace. It's like complete and total well-being, body, soul, and mind in the Hebrew tradition. Shalom. Peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die. Remember when Jesus said, I think it's John 14, peace be with you. My peace, I leave with you. I'm going away, but there's another one coming. But don't worry, because you don't have to worry about your peace. Throw your old peace away, because my peace, I'm leaving with you. Did you know that the peace he had when he walked to the executioner is the same peace that he's left if you want it? Who wants that kind of peace? So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it the Lord is peace. To this day, it's still an Ophrah of the bees. I can't even pronounce that word. Let me finish with this story. Yeah, got to close. So this week I landed on the Weather Channel. And I don't ever watch the Weather Channel. Care about the weather, but what caught my attention was they were talking about these extreme races in Patagonia, which is the tip of South America, down near Tierra del Fuego. And these racers and what it takes for them to complete these races. So they're going from, like, you know, racing with winter gear across glaciers to hiking down into more temperate regions to get to riding bikes to running to then in canoes. I mean, it's just craziness. I don't even know how many hundreds of miles to finish this race. And so they were interviewing a guy who had, like, won several of these races and such. And the question that they asked him was, what's the hardest thing about this? And he said, you know, there's two things that will really take every racer out. He said, number one is the weather. I mean, in this race, it could go from sunny and 73 degrees to almost, it feels like in an instant, like 80 to 100 mile an hour winds and gusts and rain. And then you end up in this region where there's 4 inches of snow coming down. It's like it just absolutely wears on you. He said, but the biggest obstacle in all that is your mind. He said, your mind will just take you out every time. He said, in every single race I've been in, I've always come to this place where there's this voice in my head that says, you're at the end of the line. You can go no further. But, obviously, he's saying, but if you want to win the race, every winner has another voice. Every winner has another voice that says, you will not give up. You can complete what you've started and you can win. And I was telling Sarah that story and she goes, that might be a word from the Lord. And I was like, ha, you think? And I was thinking about Gideon. And if you keep going on in the story, God tells him to go fight, but he boils his large army down to 300. Y'all remember that? And there's just all these challenges and all these times where it seems like surely he's going to get whipped. He's going to give up. This isn't going to work out. But there's another voice in Gideon's head. There's another voice. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit that says, when you don't have what it takes, that's okay because he does. And that voice is in your heart today saying, don't quit. Don't give up. Your greatest breakthrough is just over the next horizon. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Awesome. You guys stand with me. Let's get done before I preach another message. God, we thank you, God, that you are doing something really significant. Amen. In the room this morning.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that these words even are proclaimed over Malachi as a sign, but they're also proclaimed over every single one of us here this morning. God, I pray for those who are just going through a really difficult season right now. Jesus, I'm asking you to spiritually walk into their room. Like, come into the chamber of their hearts and declare who they really are. Call forth the Gideon, the mighty man, the mighty woman of valor inside of them. Lord, and give them the courage like Joshua to hear your voice and to obey. Lord, we're praying that for all of us as a church and the church, Lord, that you would restore the prophetic mantle. Thank you that you have so much. I mean, there's so many encouraging signs to point to. But I pray even specifically here in Chapel Hill, God, that your voice would resound through the streets. Yeah. That the voice of love and goodness and courage and faith would resound. That sun of righteousness that arises with healing in its wings. Mm-hmm. Lord, flap your wings over Chapel Hill today, God. Bring incredible amounts of healing, but physically, spiritually, emotional healing, mental healing, God. We just thank you for that. And I just ask you to put your blessing upon every family and every single person in here this morning, God. Bless them, watch over them, and let your peace, your shalom be upon them. In Jesus' name, everybody agrees?
Amen.
Amen. All right. You guys having fun yet? All right, good. Enjoy the rest of your day. I love you guys. It was a pleasure having all you guests and family. You're family. You know, we're family. So be blessed.
I think I got a follow-up word.
Okay, hold on 1 second.
Hey, so I think I got a follow-up word for what Matthew was saying earlier about the blood disease and thing like that. As he started praying, I started seeing like these red like blood cells or something like that. I guess it's the only way I can see it. I see pictures, don't always know what that means.
Yeah.
But I think it is something having to do with maybe the hemoglobin. Thank you for Google. and so I don't know if that's anybody in this room or it could be somebody that's maybe watching it or yeah. even somebody that you know. Mm-hmm. It could be just something that the Lord is just throwing out there like, hey, I got a heart that I want to heal and land on this, you know, yeah. through somebody that crosses your path this week or something mm-hmm. like that. But it's something that can attack those blood cells and impact the blood cells, I guess, delivery to get oxygen to the lungs.
Yeah.
And so if that's anybody, we feel like that's what the Lord is on, you know, and so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's mine. my hemoglobin keeps completely being depleted. Mm. And Susan knows about it. It's been going on for about 5 years. And you're supposed to be at a level 15 or 16 or whatever. And every time I go back to the doctor, it seems like I'm 3, I'm 4. Mm. And I've had even blood transfusions at the hospital overnight, you know, trying to get it back to normal. Mm. And so I'll receive prayer.
Amen. So come on, it's family time. Stretch out your hands real. Let's just bless this. Lord, we just thank you for the now word of the Lord.
Yeah. God, we thank you that what you have spoken, God, will come to pass. So right now, we just speak to Tracy's blood and command it to be whole, to be completely in order right now. God, we're asking for a blood transfusion right from heaven right now that completely sets in order her levels, God. In the name of Jesus, we just believe it. Lord, we declare it right now over your body, Tracy. We say, body, come into alignment with heaven and the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus.
And Lord, I just believe right now, Tracy, that there's healing in this room. It's got your name on it.
Amen.
And so, Lord, we right now, we come into agreement with heaven. Lord, the word that was spoken out, Lord, because you had healing for Tracy today. So, Lord, we grab hold of that by faith together with Tracy, and we say that her hemoglobin levels would be perfect right now in Jesus' name. Yes. That they would, that the next time she goes to the doctor, that they would say, wow, your numbers are right on target. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, we speak to her body to receive this healing in Jesus' name, wholeness.
Yeah. Amen. 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 Is that anybody else in the room? Definitely not here to embarrass you or anything. If it is you, come up here. We'll pray for you.
Sure,
or you need anything else? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Amanda Mullenpaugh maybe had hemoglobin. Actually, I felt like the Lord had me start praying for her this morning.
Amen.
Well,
so Lord, we just declare over Amanda's body. We command it to be whole. Right now, in health, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And we just stand on this word,
Lord.
This
yes,
morning,
God.
For you, Amanda.
Yeah.
Right now, come upon her where she is. Right now, is she in Paris?
She might be in England.
Not Paris, in England, yeah. At Oxford?
Yeah,
yeah, come upon her, Lord.
Yeah.
You're God across space.
Lord,
just go over there across the pond and touch Amanda. Just come upon her right now, God. Let her testimony be, hey, at this very hour, I just felt this thing, Lord. Just give her a sign. Give her courage. We love her, God. Just bless her today. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Come up here. I want to pray for you. And I'm going to dismiss you guys. Be blessed. Seriously, if anybody else needs prayer for anything, healing or anything else, come up here, we'll pray for you. It'd be great. So be blessed. Amen. Come on, y'all. Lord, we right now, we curse Lyme's disease in the name of Jesus. We ask you to reverse the effects of that bite, that tick bite, Lord. Right now, and that bloodborne illness right now, we take authority over it.
Amen.
We say Don's body be whole and cleansed.
Yes, God.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, dude.
Completely and totally.
God.
Just touch him right now, Lord.
Heal him. Heal him,
touch
Lord.
Him, Holy Spirit.
Heal him with your love, Lord.
Yeah. More. More, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood. Your blood. By your stripes, we say Don is healed. We cancel all effects right now. All the symptoms, we cancel them right now in the name of Jesus.
Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Susan, come on. Okay. Wow. Okay. Thank you. Well, again, Lord, we just stand on the authority of Christ right now. Lord, we ask you to break that generational curse, God. Break that generational illness in the name of Jesus. That thickens the blood. We speak to her blood right now and command it to be exactly the way that you created it.
Right
now, in the name of Jesus, God, we just ask you to touch our Holy Spirit. Right now, again, spiritual blood transfusion. Just come through her body right now. Right now, God, more Holy Spirit. Yeah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
back. Command it to be whole right now. Lord, we command any blockage to be removed. God, and any whatever those things are, God, medically, you know, Lord, we're saying, be whole.
Speak
shalom over you, God.
Yeah.
That's right.
Peace.
Yeah, that's it.
Peace in every way, wholeness, wellness in every way, God. We cancel the effects of that infection right now in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, release it. Blood of Jesus.
In fact, the theme this weekend was restoration. And even though you weren't there physically, you were there.
Yeah, amen.
You were there spiritually. We're your brothers. We you were there with us. We carried your pain. We declare restoration, God. Complete and total renewal. Restoring, God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
This week, I actually went back after I got up to make a report about COVID. And he can't use where I was able to use it, but I just need to do this.
That's right. Yeah.
And then I said, I spent it on a week and then I went back.
Amen, Lord. Well, we just stand on the words of faith, God. Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
We're here with sin and faith, just grabbing a hold of you this morning. We grab a hold of you, God. We grab you, Lord. We thank you for the healing virtue of Christ right now. Flowing through her body right now. Diabetes, we curse you. In the name of Jesus, and we command these blood sugar levels in her body to be normal right now in the name of Jesus. Right now. Woo! Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Wholeness. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
By your power, by your stripes,
Yeah.
Lord God, thank you for that. Thank you for your blood.
We thank you in advance for the next level of testimony that's going to come forth. No trace of diabetes. Thank you, Lord.
Did you say you have it too?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Lord,
amen.
We just pray, Lord. We
double
just declare
portion,
that healing
for
his
Rick.
Body
right
as well.
Yeah.
By your stripes. Oh.
Thank you, Jesus.
By your blood that was poured out, Lord. We just appropriate that blood, Lord, over his body right now. We call his blood sugar levels into alignment as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come. Let your perfect will be done in his body right now today.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God. Yeah.
Thank you for your power, Lord. Your miracle working power.
Thank you, Lord.
Let it be so.
Amen.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good.